Hi, this is James Devine, and I am an educator who has come out of the trenches. Listen in as my friend and colleague Dana Goodyear shares stories and tips from other educators who have come out of the trenches.
Welcome to the Out of the Trenches podcast. This is Dana Goodyear. Thanks for listening.
My next guest is Tom Simmendinger. Todd is a lifelong educator with over 20 years of experience in education and presently a consultant for navigating challenging dialogue for schools. He's a 2020 graduate of Ohio State University, where he earned a BA in history and a master's degree in education, curriculum design and development. Over the course of his career, Todd worked across the entire K-12 spectrum, both as an administrator and a teacher, and has experience working in suburban, urban, and vocational settings. His 10 years as a school administrator include leadership positions in the roles of curriculum and assessment coordinator, high school and middle school assistant principal, and for the past 7 years as an elementary principal. Todd is a certified NCD trainer with coaching and professional development delivery experience in both education and business settings, and has served as a mentor and coach for numerous aspiring and sitting school administrators. Welcome to the podcast, Todd.
Thank you, Dana. So happy to be here.
Well, tell me about a time you were in the trenches and managed to crawl out.
Sure. So I think the deepest I found myself in the trenches was early on in my first principalship, where I had taken over a pretty difficult situation, a school that had some pretty significant culture issues, and it was a fair amount of turnover. And I found myself after my first couple of years really sort of struggling on the communication end, and there was a lot of drama within the building, and I was finding myself sort of drowning in that. And to get myself sort of on the right track, I reached out to some resources and found this wonderful woman in California who was doing professional development around communication at the sort of at the executive level. And I sort of dove in headfirst and went out there and spent a week where I learned so much about how to lead, how to manage conflict, how to, you know, create an environment where I could support my teachers, but also have the accountability that I needed as a principal. And when I returned from that and I had the opportunity to really put that into action, it really made a huge difference in how I led and how my teachers perceived me as a leader, and really changed how I did things. And what was fascinating about it was is that it sort of rolled right into the pandemic as well, where it was in a lot of ways kind of the final exam for leaders, school leaders, of how to manage really complicated, you know, circumstances, which most school leaders hadn't been faced with before, and had to do it on the fly. And that skill set really helped pull me out and be able to lead the school through a really difficult time and do it really effectively, because of the skills that I gained, and also because of the great people that I had around me.
And this is inspiring to hear that you found that out pretty quickly into your first principalship. How many months was that in that you went to this training?
Yeah, it was at the beginning of my second year, okay. And a bit of a kind of a funny circumstance where the superintendent had sort of suggested to me that this might be something that I look into, and but gave me the flexibility of picking, you know, the resource that I wanted. And I was able to, through colleagues, find Beth Wanson, who really sort of took me down this path of discovery of myself. And it was, you know, I'm not going to lie, it was painful. I learned a lot about things that I wasn't good at, which some of which I knew going into the training, and some of which I really learned the hard way when I actually started in the training. It kind of left me after the first couple of days wondering, you know, how good of a leader I really was. But I quickly sort of recovered from that and picked up the skills that I needed.
And this was a training for executives at all levels, not just for school leaders.
Correct. Yeah, that was the interesting part about it, was that I was in a training with an executive from Google and an executive from a winery in California. None of them were educators, really, which gave me a really unique perspective as well, and was really the impetus for me later on working with Beth to try to find a way to take that work and that training and shift it into something that was school focused, because there's really is such a need for that training in school-based environments.
Well, I think this segues well into my second question, which is talking about creating a positive and focused school culture as a leader. So what impact do leaders have in their ability to manage challenging dialogue, both on culture and the change process that some schools need?
Yeah, so I think that that's really, when you look at the principalship and any school leadership position, that really is the driving force between administrators that are successful and those that, that struggle, is how do you support that culture of change and create an environment in which teachers feel safe to take risks and challenge themselves, and but still as a principal be able to push forward, you know, in the best interest of teaching and learning. And in the culture piece, you know, for me, what I learned was that being able to have those really hard conversations is important. And as principals, you know, and as teachers, we do it every day. I mean, as a principal, it was 70% of my day was a challenging conversation, whether it was a kid or a teacher or a parent. That's what we do. And the outcomes of those conversations really dictate and drive the culture that you have within the building. And so learning how to really dive into those meaningful conversations in a way where we're clear with what we want and what we're doing, we're listening and understanding people's concerns and being able to come up with a solution. Maybe not that everybody likes all the time, but that there's a mutual respect between both sides is really what drives school culture and process. And being able to have that trusting relationship is really paramount to being able to move forward as a school, because there is so much change in schools, and some of it's good, some of it's bad. And oftentimes, certainly principals don't have a lot of say in that. And, you know, we're sort of having to move along as well. And so there has to be that genuine dialogue back and forth. And, you know, and sometimes it's also the piece of when you're engaging in that dialogue with people is sorting out what's fact and what's not fact. And that's a big piece of it, because oftentimes there's assumptions, there's past history. They've had, you know, in the case of a principal, they've had principals before that have said things or mm-hmm. done things. And some of that is being able to really take the time to remove the emotional part from it and really boil down the facts to find out what it is that somebody needs and how you can help them solve that to move forward with whatever the situation is.
Yeah, I think that's you know, important to look at, because there's so many can be done wrong, right? And you're being judged a lot. And a lot of principals don't have somebody to lean on, or, you know, a mentor or somebody by them their side. They're isolated. And that leads into sometimes principals make communication errors. So some common communication errors that leaders make, and how does that impact staff?
Yeah, I mean, I think that sometimes education leaders make the mistake of undersharing information, either because they don't feel it's necessary for staff to know, or because they're protecting staff from certain information that they feel is not going to be well received, or that, you know, is going to impact them negatively. And, you know, I think the one thing that I took out of the pandemic more than anything was that you can't protect other people's sort of emotional well-being from information that they really need to know and be able to digest and make decisions on. And, you know, it's, you know, you can support and provide the, you know, the help around that information. But the saying that that my staff relentlessly heard from me was clear as kind. And that was really my motto from the time I came out of that training was, you know, everything that we communicate to each other, it needs to be precise and it needs to be clear. And it needs to be professional, but, you know, I think we would all agree as educators that the one thing that educators struggle with sometimes is the fear of wanting to protect other people's emotions or not make other people upset or that sort of thing. And that gets in the way sometimes of the communication on the administrative end, is how are we going to deliver it in a way that is clear and that we can all have an honest and open discussion about, you know, what's happening. And, you know, I see that as one of my biggest struggles early on was really being able to figure out, what do I want to communicate it? How do I communicate it? I don't want to overwhelm my teachers with a myriad of information that's completely unnecessary to them, but I also don't want them to find out a piece of information that they need to know and not hear it from me. And, you know, I think teachers really appreciate that, you know, being able to hear it clearly and be able to make their own decisions and ask their own questions about things without, you know, finding out about it from other sources.
Yeah, and that's something, you know, you're going over time, but I think just kind of listening to your words about, like you said, being clear with how you speak and, you know, so there aren't too many questions afterwards. You know, some staff might be used to certain communications, other staff might have a lot of questions. So just be open for those questions. So aspiring leaders, as we're recording this, it is hiring season for the 22-23 school year. And so there are a lot of people that are thinking of applying and possibly interviewing for assistant principal and principal positions. So what are some leadership and communication skills that you would say aspiring leaders should focus on to improve as they transition into possibly a new position?
Sure. I think going into, or considering a principalship, the one thing that you have to be really open to and understand is that being vulnerable as a leader in terms of communication is also really important, because you're going to find out, or you're going to experience pretty quickly, that you're going to make mistakes or you're not going to know answers to questions. And so, going into it, understanding and being prepared to say, I don't know the answer to that question, I'll find out for you. Or, I didn't do that correctly, I made a mistake, I'll do better the next time, are really essential skills for administrators. That sort of vulnerability piece of being able to have open communication, but also you're not perfect, you're going to make mistakes, and acknowledging them is better than trying to sort of gloss them over in front of your staff. And, being willing to engage in those conversations in ways that are, meaningful, and that take into account sort of the individual needs of the teachers that are in front of you. And, I think too, for me, I'm a very sort of personable person. So, I had very close relationships with my staff in general. Like I knew everything about their families. I invested a lot of time in sort of checking in on people. And so that piece of it, and people have different skills around that, obviously, or different comfort levels with that. But certainly there's the sort of the personalization part of understanding that when you are communicating with different staff members, they often have very different needs or receive information in very different ways. And so being able to sort of adapt that communication style to the person in front of you really makes a difference. So for example, like my boss doesn't like surprises, right? He doesn't like when I walk into his office and say, I have this great idea, I want to do this. And so oftentimes to sort of work around that communication piece, I oftentimes will preempt a meeting with an email to say, I'm thinking about doing this, I'd like to discuss it, if it's something that I think might be, just maybe a more challenging conversation. And I do that with some of my staff as well. And so I think it's understanding, your the needs of your staff. Some of them are anxious, some of them have a lot of past history with leaders, good and bad. And being able to adapt that message to meet the receiver really makes a huge difference in the success with on the communication level. And I would also say the other piece of it is that the majority of your communication as a leader really should not be formal. I think that's the one benefit of being really active in terms of visibility in the building, is being able to be seen, heard, and check in on people throughout the course of the day greatly eliminates issues and problems and allows you to really communicate in advance before something blows up, by being able to have those sort of one-on-one check-in conversations with teachers throughout the course of the day that maybe aren't necessarily like these formal sort of emails or staff meeting messages. That groundwork really can make your life a lot easier as a principal and improve the culture as a whole.
Yeah, and that's definitely something that I've worked and strived for, as visiting classrooms, being visible in the building. And I think, the more you're there, the more you have those just check in and spot conversations with teachers, then you don't have to necessarily communicate via email. And but right. I think also that part of, admitting when you make a mistake, right? Not trying to pass off as the know-it-all,
right?
Especially if I've talked to some leaders, they started out as pretty young leaders in schools with a lot of veteran teachers. So you got to be vulnerable, you got to know that you're learning, and, you might be in a building that, has staff that have been there for years, and you're not that familiar with the culture of the school. Right. So it's kind of learning to integrate. So in the bio, I talked about navigating challenging dialogue for schools. So what's the focus of navigating challenging dialogue for schools, and how has it improved your life as a leader and those around you?
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. You can find out more at teachbetter.com/podcast. Now let's get back to the episode.
Yeah. So our primary focus is being able to come up with a structure around these conversations that that principals and administrators find themselves in every day. It's oftentimes, you know, these are really uncomfortable spots for administrators. And quite frankly, I don't think most training programs even address this piece of it, of having these conversations. And so what we focus on is, you know, it's the sort of the structure of preparing yourself for this conversation, which is a big piece of it. But the other side of it is really understanding yourself in these conversations, which is really crucial, not only in the success of the conversation, but in terms of the climate. And so for example, you know, learning and understanding what your triggers are as a leader, what things, you know, we all have sort of triggers, a handful of things that really drive us crazy as leaders. You know, one of mine was when a teacher would come in and complain to me about a kid, but hadn't really put in much of an effort to sort of address the issue with the kid themselves. They sort of would pass it off right away without putting in a lot of effort. But on a larger scale, you know, some people just are really anxious going into conversations. Some people don't handle feedback very well at any level. And so how you structure those conversations is one part of it. And then the second part of it is as a leader, how do you handle your emotions in those moments and not create a negative situation, which I think, as we all know that work in schools, those are really deadly in schools. When you have a bad interaction as an administrator with a teacher, it's really hard to recover from that because, you know, it damages the relationship and it makes it really hard to move forward. So, you know, understanding that my trigger is when somebody comes at me with information and aggressively, for example, what am I going to do in that moment to not have a negative response to it and then remove any chance of there being a successful conversation, right? So for me, my strategy is I sort of put grace in the space, I give it a moment, and then I ask a clarifying question before I do anything else, right? I ask a question of, tell me more about how, you know, why that's making you upset, and allow the person to provide more sort of information and, you know, sort of bring the tone of the conversation down so that we can move forward with it in a productive way. So a lot of our work is around those two pieces of it. And, you know, certainly this comes up in the evaluation cycle as well, which to me has been sort of fascinating because, you know, in some ways in schools, the evaluation system is much harder than it is anywhere else. We just, you know, as administrators, we oftentimes don't have a whole lot of leverage in the evaluation system. And so, you know, being able to really productively have a conversation with a teacher, maybe who's struggling as a professional status teacher, you're trying to move them forward, you know, that's a real nuanced conversation as an administrator to be able to do that and move them forward when you don't always necessarily have a ton of leverage in terms of always making it happen. So, you know, there's lots of pieces and parts to it, but in the end, the goal of the program is to provide administrators and teachers with skills to be able to engage in the conversations, understand themselves, have more sort of emotional self-awareness for how they handle situations, and also understand how to read and understand what's happening around them. And for me, this was a really big thing. I think it's sort of an interesting thing too for teachers, which is that social awareness in schools is super important, right? And we refer to it as the energy, you know, being aware of the energy that you bring to the room. So like, I remember somebody telling me, and the only reason I became aware of it was, you know, oftentimes every school, our staff meetings were right after school. I would be running in, a million things would have happened. I'm super stressed out. And here I am having a staff meeting, trying to motivate my staff, but I'm not really in the right space to do this, right? I think I am, but I'm not. And it's not coming off very well or very genuine. And so a big part of it is understanding the energy that you are bringing to a situation and to a room, and also sort of being able to read the room and the moment and being able to adapt your communication style to that, right? And, you know, we've had all kinds of interesting situations during my time there, and, you know, from death of staff, of you know, family members of staff, to all kinds of things that, you know, you have to really learn how to manage those different conversations based on what's there. You know, and even sometimes those conversations where you go into a meeting expecting it's going to be smooth and easy, and all of a sudden it sort of erupts into chaos. you know, being able to manage those situations and bring everybody sort of back to the focus of why you're there, you know, address the concerns, and be able to move forward. So, it's sort of a wide ranging, you know, curriculum, but the ultimate thing is to, in the end, to be a better communicator and to understand where your communication weaknesses are so that you can improve on them and be able to support that culture that I think we're all looking for in schools. That's positive and productive and, you know, is a two-way street, that people are really invested in. And, you know, the last point on this, I think I'll say is that the vulnerability piece for me was really hard. And, you know, I think part of it was that, you know, I was a very young principal when I started. And as you mentioned, I was a very young principal with a veteran staff. I lost almost half of my staff in the first 3 years from retirement. And so that was really hard for me. And, you know, as principals, as administrators, we're sort of trained, or people want us, we want to think of ourselves as sort of superheroes that, you know, whether the building's on fire or whatever's happening, you're going to see the same person. And I can attest to that. That was me. I was always the guy that was like, people are always like, how do you not have an emotional reaction to it? And that can be a positive in situations, but it definitely can be a negative in situations where, you know, you're not coming across, or people feel like you are not being authentic or understanding where they're coming from. So, you know, during the pandemic, for example, I learned early on that I needed to really work on that part. And so I didn't have a problem saying to my staff, this is really hard. You know, like I actually don't really know what I'm doing right now. Right. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm doing the best I can. I'm happy to get, you know, if you guys have better ideas, let's do it. But right now I'm tired and I'm frustrated and I know you guys are too. We need to figure this out, but we don't want to ignore the fact that we're tired and frustrated and angry about sort of where we are in this circumstance. And so to me, I had to really learn that. And it wasn't because I'm not a, you know, an emotional person, because I am, or, you know, understanding of other people's emotions. It's just unlocking that piece is really, really hard, I think, for some of us as administrators, because that typical leadership view is strong and, you know, isn't going to get wrapped up in the emotional parts of the role, when in reality, it's a big part of the role. And teachers want and need you to understand, and students, that you understand those struggles and their struggles, and you're willing to admit your own struggles along the way, makes a huge difference from a leadership perspective, assuming, of course, that it's authentic when you're doing it.
And for people who are interested in attending maybe a training for navigating challenging dialogue for schools, where can they find that type of training?
Sure. They can go directly to the website, which is ncdforschools.com, and all the information and my email address, which is todd@bethwanson.com, is all right on the page.
Okay. Great. I'll make sure I put that in the show notes. Yeah, you talked a lot about understanding and managing your triggers as a leader, but what do leaders do when there's a lot of drama in the workplace? Perhaps they're new to the building and they're entering a school with a lot of drama, or they're, as we talked about in the pre-chat, maybe a assistant principal who is dealing with an intercollegial conflict and they have not dealt with something like that before.
Yeah. So in those situations, we talk a lot about the ability of leaders to be able to resolve those conflicts through the NCD process, right? Which is the ability to sort of take all of the information and decipher out of it what is fact, what is emotion, right? And be able to sort of boil it down to two or three sort of central facts in order to move forward with it. And eliminate the pieces that are, which is, you know, I think the one thing that I've learned through this process is that 90% of every story is not fact, right? I think we learned that pretty quickly, you know, if you're dealing with kids or adults. And so being able to sit down, have that conversation and sort of remove the emotional piece of it, get down to the factual piece, and then move forward with a next step sort of process based on those facts really is an eye-opening experience for most people when they go through the process, because we learn as we go through it that, you know, our assumptions, the, you know, sort of our ladders of influence of assuming why people are doing what they're doing, you know, in collegial conflicts is a huge thing. And, you know, I sort of was fortunate, obviously, because I took the training and then I took through half a dozen of my own staff through the training, just as sort of a test run out of curiosity to see what that looked like at the teacher level. And what was most interesting sort of about it was, is that as they acquired these skills, it really reduced a lot of the pressure on me as an administrator, right? Because by modeling these skills to teachers, you begin to allow them to be able to resolve these situations themselves, right? By going through the process and understanding it, and, you know, being able to sort of unravel what, you know, is really sort of hard, I think, for most people when there's conflict between peers. So for assistant principals or people who are going into administrative roles or considering it, you know, I think that the big thing is that you have to really, A, be really sort of direct with people in terms of what the expectation is in terms of behavior and, you know, upholding that piece of the culture piece of it. But in terms of resolving it is getting to the bottom of what's causing the conflict and working with people to find the resolution around that and being really clear that you are expecting that resolution to be upheld as a leader is key, but is super challenging. I mean, I know for me, it was one of the biggest, the drama piece was really hard for me. I'm not a person that handles trauma really well. And so that piece was definitely hard for me as a young principal. And, you know, you also, I would say this too, is that, you know, we're in a world now where, you know, being a school administrator or a teacher is one of the toughest jobs around. And what's coming at you is coming at you 1,000 miles an hour. And it's oftentimes not very pretty. And there's a lot of stresses that weren't there even 2 or 3 years ago. So, you know, for me, I think the other piece of advice I would have is, you know, you also don't have to take on everything that's thrown at you, right? When it comes to some of these, you know, these issues when it comes to culture necessarily or conflict. And that was really hard for me as a young administrator, because I'm a problem solver. You give me a problem, I want to solve it. And then I found myself sinking very quickly, not being able to handle and manage and do the important parts of my job because I was solving everybody else's problems. And so, you know, I think the language just of, which I learned from my training, which was, you know, like that's fascinating. What are you going to do to resolve that issue? Right. Just that little bit of language, when somebody comes into your office and they throw it at you, you don't expect it. And it's some conflict and something that you really don't, you know, either feel like you need to deal with or isn't your responsibility to deal with. Just that simple language makes a huge difference in getting people to say, okay, I get it. You know, how it's my responsibility to find a resolution to that matter. And as a principal, I say to them, I'm happy to help you problem solve this and find a solution to it. But in the end, I need you to work to solve this problem on your own. This one can't be my problem. And so obviously you have to be cautious about when you choose to use that language, but it certainly allows you to have a way to cipher out the things that maybe, you know, you need your staff to handle themselves as adults when you don't have the time to do it as a principal.
Yeah, and I think you've made some clear steps, basically, what to follow and, you know, kind of how to navigate that situation. And I would add, definitely follow up, right? Because there might be a conflict that happens and the staff are still working in the same team another 4 months and they have to work very closely. And, you know, just making sure, you know, what has been agreed upon, what the resolution was, is working, right? And there isn't further conflict because unless one of the staff members come to you, you might not know about it, but there could still be a lot of tension between the staff members as well. So
that's right.
We've had a great conversation today about communication, drama in the workplace, how to navigate challenges as a leader. Out of everything we talked about today, what's one thing you'd like listeners to remember?
Well, I think that the one thing that I would, the one takeaway is that I think that the piece of really approaching everything with clear as kind when it comes to communication, regardless if that's a conversation with a parent, a student, a teacher or an administrator, being clear with what your concern is and what your problem is and what you want to see moving forward is going to make your life much, much easier. It's not always going to be easy to deliver, but it's going to really sort of help and move forward in terms of the problem solving issue. And as an administrator, when it comes to sort of advancing the school improvement, concept, it's really, and I think teachers really appreciate it when you deliver a message that's just clear, even if they're not necessarily always going to like it out of the gate.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but that's great to remember. And it's easy to remember as well, to be clear, clear as kind. Okay. Where can people find you online? You mentioned the ncdforschools.com in your email. Are you also on social media?
Yep. Also on Twitter at my name, Todd Simmendinger. I think that's all for right now is the Twitter and LinkedIn. I'm sorry, was the other one, which is my name. So
great. I'll make sure I put that in the show notes as well. Well, thank you so much for being my guest on the Out of the Trenches podcast today. It was a pleasure having you on.
Thank you so much, Dana.
Check out the show notes on danagoodyear.com to learn more about this guest and links to their social media. Please subscribe, share, rate, and review wherever you download this podcast. Tell your friends and colleagues about it. And if this episode resonates, especially with you, be sure to share it out on social media and tag me at Out of Trenches PC.